An incantation. Now it's just stretches of white, fast falling snow, elucidating fretwork upon tree branches and stones, stretches of white, punctuated by the slate-colored juncos hopping along the road's edge, leaving exclamation marks as they go. For now, there's no one else yet out on the road, and I let my mind wander instead of looking down. I set the eyes free like two unleashed dogs eager to roam. I know that to find you, I will have to leave the earth and go out. As I left my lamplit room and its clicking electric floorboards to enter this wood with quivering beeches and wild turkeys and cereal-colored leaves, have to leave my life that has become so small and inevitable, and my gratitude that gets chiseled down and grows back again into the stillness, the windless calm, into such loneliness, the blue sky, the heartbreak indigo, undifferentiated as darkness, untouchable, unarrivable, only traveling through it, then simply not, above into the nowhere, the no more, the imagination, because down here is where I lost you, somewhere beneath low-swinging stoplights and the desert's granulated sunset that settles in one's eyes and hair, sunset you could taste from the wind carrying the smell of the cattle stockyard and from the ground pushing up sharp green fluorite rocks that used to cut our tanned legs in childhood. That palimpsest of a landscape. Every return to it, depositing or wiping clear another memory of that same street we so desolately wandered. But oh, my lost little brother, I will look for you until I find you. And when I find you, I will accept your suffering. And when I find you, it won't be here among the leaves. The crows. There must have been greetings that rhymed with each of them, but now she only remembers the goodbyes, the countless times they stood together speechless under a starry meal of snow, crows congregating above them in bare winter branches, all through the desperate sadness at the end, one of them still madly in love, while the other admitted defeat, taking turns as if exchanging a heavy suitcase. And they were, after all, always traveling, somehow never at home. He loved her in libraries and parking lots, in cemeteries and in cafes. She loved him in the held breath of elevators, in stairwells and trains. He loved her in daylight, but also in the dark. She loved him most at the end of the day, telling a story at dinner while waving his fork and knife. He was her never husband, and she his never wife. There must have been greetings that rhymed with each of them, all along, though they couldn't hear it. Before they had stopped being lovers, before they had even started, back when they were two people leaving a restaurant in summer's dusk, the crows were growing busy, numerous. There was one coming to land on every branch of every tree. Once the thumbless black hands of their wings had finished stroking the malleable sky, all along, though they couldn't hear it, the birds had been winging their silent applause for the love that was going to be and then was.